880 The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed
billions and billions
of dollars in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected. He has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guest, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
Thank you so much, Wanda. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much to all my fans. Thank you, thank you,
Jim,
thank
you. You forgot your pants.
Huh?
Just kidding.
What?
No, I just, never mind. Go on.
I'm wearing pants here.
Hey, put your pants on.
Facebook can see I got my pants on.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right. Now, anyway, you're a crazy girl. All right. We got a great show. You're setting the tone perfectly because we got Casey Conway, perhaps the fastest man in real estate, even faster than me. Casey's the chief economist for the CCIMs. He's also the head of the Culver House School of Real Estate up at Alabama. He'll give us the real way to say all of his good credentials, but he's the man. We're going to talk to Casey at least a half hour, hopefully 45 minutes. Stick with us. It'll be the fastest great information you've had. Infrastructure, interest rates, trade, everything. Its impact on your future here for the next few months. I hope I haven't undersold him. So Wanda, take it away. We'll be right back with my man, Casey Conway, right after this. Stick with us. You're going to love this. Oh, yeah, I definitely want a piece of your heart. I also want to get a piece of your automotive business. And if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They got that great Audi store up in Gainesville. And, of course, if you go down to Key West, they've got them all in their store in Key West. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional brands, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me. My mom and my beautiful wife, Vivian, we're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
I'm out shaking my stuff.
Today is Thursday.
Say what?
It's Thursday.
What are you doing?
We're going to put on a show for you.
I think we got a show.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
I love it.
Definitely got a show. There's a show.
Love it. Love everything about it.
I really do love listening to your show.
Plus, bonus, it's really, really funny.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
It's showtime. Everybody.
One in four Americans between 12 and 55 tune into an average of 3 podcasts per week. There's never been a better time to start your own podcast and tap into this growing market. Podcasting amplifies your personality and your business.
Magic can happen when people hear your voice. Your listeners will feel closer to you and potentially develop greater trust. Podcasting is easier for consumers to consume. People can listen while they work, exercise, and while they drive. Make your business come alive. Top quality recordings and everything you need to get your show on the web. Check out all our packages and options online at 880thebiz.com.
All right. And hey, seeking some real estate capital? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Just closed my, about 3 or 4 deals just since the beginning of the year. Sold Wynwood Yard for the Lombardi family. So if I can help you with some urban land, give me a call. 305-773-6300. Helped a friend of mine get a mortgage on his house. Guy made about $1 million last year, but didn't show any income.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, that's because he had offsets. It's the way that the tax laws work.
Tricky.
It was tricky. But was able to get him a mortgage, got another friend a couple of loans out in Little Havana, closed them all last month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Residential, commercial, complicated or simple, I can help you. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
And the home.
880.
Oh, the brave.
The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business.
To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back. We're back with my good friend, Casey Conway. He's such a good friend of mine that I always mess up his introduction. So I'll just say he's a big shot, knows a lot, consults with the Atlanta Fed, the National Fed, the CCIMs. He's a professor at the University of Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Casey.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
Now, always great to see you. I want to thank the CCIMs for bringing you down here to Miami. It was a great event. As usual, your feet didn't touch the ground for the whole half hour, so hopefully we'll get you to really focus in on some good stuff. Well, I want to talk about trade, infrastructure. Of course, we'll talk a little cannabis, rates, the Fed. And the last thing I want to talk about is where people should put their money. So you're on alert, everybody. Stick with us. Casey's going to run down. Not his canned speech, but the stuff we went over earlier today and yesterday. So, Casey, it's all up to you. Let's start with what's on everybody's mind, the government shutdown. What's the impact? People are starting to say that's going to have a long-term impact.
Yeah, it's starting to get serious. So we've had, this is our 19th one since the 1970s. It's the longest we've had. And it's got a lot of tentacles to it. So, you know, for you guys there in South Florida, shipping and trade are important. We've got over 300 shipping vessels that can't come into our ports because the Coast Guard isn't fully staffed up with the shutdown, and they need what's called a COFR, a Certificate of Financial Risk or Insurance. So we got container ships backing up. We can't get initial public offerings done. We may run out of liquor by the time the Super Bowl starts.
Well, hold on a second now. Anything but the booze.
That can't be true.
That's what's going to open the government, Jimmy. When we shut the booze down, then the government will open up.
I got a feeling that that's probably the case.
Going to Atlanta, you got to have alcohol to deal with the congestion.
Yeah, well, okay, you went to Atlanta. Let's stick here in South Florida. So I got banana boats with the bananas rotting. Is that what's going on?
You know, all this stuff. You've got, they can't come into port without their COFR certificate from the Coast Guard. So we're starting to see, just like when Hapag-Lloyd went bankrupt and we had all those their vessels sitting out there because the trustees couldn't decide who had who owned what on the container stuff. So it's getting serious. Wow. You know, the way I tell people to think about it, you know, on one side they want to tell us that, you know, hey, 75% of the government's funded. What do we need the other 25% for? Well, it's kind of like oil. It's that last million barrels that determines whether we pay $2 a gallon for gasoline or $50 a gallon or $5 a gallon for gasoline. It's that capacity, and it's these, you know, Jimmy, I had to leave the CCIM event to get to the Miami airport, to get to Newark, and go to a board meeting up there. And if it weren't for CCIM having a contact help me get through security, I might not have made my flight there in Miami. And when I got to Newark the next morning, and I had to fly back to Atlanta, at 4:50 in the morning, the TSA pre-check line was over a half hour long at 4:50 in the morning.
Wow, that's amazing. And you sent me another picture, or was that the one where you were in Newark? I know you sent me one where you were in the line at like 4:30. Was that Newark or Hartsfield?
Yeah, that was Newark. Oh. And then yesterday, I flew to Kansas City out of the Atlanta airport, and the clear, which, you know, usually get a cut in line, you know, feel like the bully in grade school, you get in line in front of everybody.
Right.
It was a half hour wait in the clear line at the Atlanta airport at 3:00 PM. It's getting serious.
That is serious.
You could walk faster.
Yeah, probably. Well, you haven't seen Casey. He's got kind of short legs. So Casey, so you know, last time you were on, we talked about the zombie trucks. You've always got some great stuff going on. We just talked a little bit about the shutdown. The shutdown means people can't get into our ports. That means that the effect of the trade war, what's going on with that? I mean, anybody who's planning a building, their costs went up 25%. What's going on here?
Yeah, so construction costs for our industry is a real important thing to keep an eye on. It's affect housing and commercial, and it started with the hurricane. So, do you know, Jimmy, you guys in Florida seem like you get hit every other year pretty bad, but we've never had a period where we had five Category 3 or 4 hurricanes hit the U.S., and so that's what we've had the last 18 months. We get another one or two next year, we're in real serious trouble. So construction costs are running, you know, 10 to 15% increases a year. So if the Fed's looking for inflation, they can find it in construction materials. In fact, if you go to the Association of General Contractors, the AGC, they've got a great report in there showing how bad it is and how much construction labor shortages there are, how much materials are, how much more they're having to pay for labor. And so this affects the builders on building homes and why they aren't building under $300,000 homes. They can't make the numbers work. And so, you know, even when we think, well, we can, you know, we got lumber here. We got loblolly pine trees in Alabama and Georgia we can cut down, right? And we have, you know, we've got lots of different materials we can put in the houses. But we forget most of those faux bathrooms, you know, that we have in these new homes, those all come from China. And most of the lumber comes in from, a lot of it comes in from Canada. It's cheaper than ours.
Sure.
So we're really going to be hit hard, and it means not just new construction, but if you're a landlord or a building owner and you're moving tenants around, you can't find the labor to complete, you know, the renovations for tenant improvement. So
is this why your housing is slowing down, because there's not enough supply in the high velocity categories?
That's right. So we should be building about 1.3 to 1.4 million homes a year,
right,
at this stage in the cycle. We're only building around 1.1 million, 1.2 million. And that quarter million difference is all the under 300,000. The lots aren't free anymore. So we're not putting free single family lots in Cracker Jack boxes after the financial crisis anymore. You actually have to go develop the land and buy the lots. And then when you look at these construction costs, you can't deliver a home anymore under about $300,000. It's almost impossible.
Wow.
And so the builders have said, we're done with the grocery store model. We're just going to build stuff where we can make 20% margins. And the best indicator, look down in your part of the world, look at Lennar Homes and their reporting of earnings. And they said, look, we're doing fine. We're making good margins on what we're building. But this thing is so crazy, we're not even going to issue guidance for 2019.
Wow.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, and I have friends that are in the home building business, and they say, well, listen, we're just going to do 4 townhomes contiguous up by Buckhead. Why should we go out and do a subdivision out at the end of Georgia 400?
Exactly right. They aren't taking the risk. The other thing to keep an eye on, so the building permits and starts rose in December, right as the shutdown was going, but it was all multifamily, single family contracted. So we're going to have to pay attention to what's going on with multifamily. We could end up overdoing it again.
Oh, that never happens, Casey. Now, listen, I want to talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the stuff that really makes America go. I want to talk about infrastructure. The government shut down. They're talking about spending $5 billion on a, we'll say, complicated set of countermeasures at the southern border and the ports of entry. We'll leave it like that to be politically correct. But how about the crumbling roads and bridges, which is what America really puts its food out on, and its razor blades and the railroads that are starting to come up out of the ground. I mean, we got to fix America.
No, you raise a good point. So we'll give your listeners an exclusive here. So on February 1st, I'll be releasing probably my most comprehensive piece of research work I've done in my 30-year career called Logistics Infrastructure. So you're spot on, Jimmy. We need to think more broadly in terms of infrastructure. We need to think of logistics infrastructure, which means more than roads and bridges. But it means everything that makes this new shift in our economy from shop and pick up to online order and deliver to me. So it's intermodal, it's ports, it's rail, it's utilities, it's Wi-Fi, it's all of those things. And so on February 1st, go to our website, acre.culverhouse.uae.edu. It's about a 50-page paper, but we'll give you the 8-page abbreviated summary. I'll send it to you tonight, Jimmy, and you can post the 8-page abbreviated one for your readers as an exclusive. But
awesome.
We talk about what's really going to be needed, and it's you know, when you look, we got $21 trillion in debt, and the government shut down. We need a lot of work done, and the difference is, we look at those states that are spending on infrastructure. You look at Florida, you look at South Carolina, you look at Texas. Their state GDPs are growing at about twice those states that aren't investing in logistics infrastructure. So you guys are doing a good job. You're putting a good bit of money to work, and you're smart. You know, if you go up to Orlando, if you're a tourist, the tourists are paying for all the infrastructure in Central Florida, so that's a good way to do it.
You know, you said something else that was real interesting, and then we're going to go to break, then we'll come back and we'll talk about, I want to talk about the new industry in Florida, cannabis. I'm going to talk about the Fed and the rates. But before we do that, I want to talk about the fact that what we're seeing here is a change with the infrastructure. You're starting to see 2 and 3 and now 4-story industrial. And so, you know, what's one good trend that you're seeing? And then we'll go to break and we'll come back.
So the industrial, exactly right. We're almost going back to the last century where, you know, if you go back and look at an old Sears distribution, it was vertical. And so with these conveyor systems, the new e-commerce fulfillment, their conveyor systems. They're not only just conveying and handling the goods, but they're also doing 3D print manufacturing of some of the goods. So Nike has a huge new facility up in Memphis, and the shoe carcasses come in. They get dropped into a 3D print area that custom make your shoe and everything else, and then they drop down through all these different conveyors and packaging and come out at the other end, and that building's over 40 foot clear, and some of them in the Inland Empire in California are 60 and 70 foot clear. So we're finding the land so expensive, and we need it for all those trucks that are carrying double trailers because of the electronic log system on truck drivers. We need bigger courtyards, more land. The land's expensive. So we go vertical with the conveyor system. So here's one good one I'll give your readers that we shared at CCIM. 5 years ago, 5% of all industrial leasing was to e-commerce and logistics companies. Last year, it was 20%. And I attribute that statistic. Cushman Wakefield just did a good logistics report on that. Our forecast is that we could see 30 to 40% of the warehouse leasing go to logistics-related companies.
Wow, Casey, I want to thank you so much. Hold on. We're going to talk to Casey around the bend. Wanda's playing the music. I got to go to a break. We're going to ask him about what he thinks about Florida's new industry cannabis. We're going to talk about the Fed, the jawboning the president does, interest rates. And then, of course, I promised you, and I will get to it, where does Casey think you got to put your money? We'll be back after this. Wanda, roll it. All right, everybody. Hey, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar, they're all exceptional cars. Of course, they've got Audi up in Gainesville, and they've got all their great nameplates down at their Key West store. What do they have in common? Well, they're all great cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry advantage. I want to give a shout-out to Larry Zinn, just named Automotive's 40 Under 40. High five to Larry Zinn. That's right. At Warren Henry, you can get the Warren Henry Advantage. That's right. What's that? That's the complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
What's your name?
Jim Freed.
He's the coolest. You don't even know.
And Wanda Miles.
I drove a taxi for like a year, and I didn't pick people up or anything. I just really needed a car.
On 880, The Biz.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful. You're smart. You are awesome. And you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice, and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting. Be strong. Be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
That's right. You got to be kind. That's right. And when you give me a call, it's all about you when we're talking business. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. I can help you if having a little problem with your residential mortgage. Maybe there's a little thing that's making it a little more complicated than you thought it would be. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. We can help you get that mortgage. Need to close something? Need to pull some equity out? Maybe you're from overseas. Something's got to happen real quick. We can help you do that too. Can close in a week. Can close in just a couple days. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're here with Casey Conway. He's the head economist for the CCIMs. He's an instructor at the Culver House School of Business up at the University of Alabama, at the other school up sort of north and west of Gainesville. Welcome back to the show, Casey. You always got some great statistics that you pull right out of the thin air. We talked a little bit about infrastructure, your big infrastructure report. Pitch that again. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's a comprehensive look at why we need to think more broadly than just roads and bridges, but everything that drives our shift from a shop and pickup economy to an online online order and delivered to me. So it's railroads, it's intermodal, it's ports, it's the utilities, it's Wi-Fi, it's broader. It's a 50-page report. It'll release February 1. You go to the ACRE website on February 1 to get the full report, ACRE, A-C-R-E, for the Alabama Center for Real Estate. So acre.culverhouse, culverhouse.ua.edu. And we'll send you tonight, Jimmy, the eight-page executive summary. Has the key takeaways, our forecast, and some really cool logistics statistics like I just shared with you.
Awesome. And we'll post that up. And Casey, I'm hoping you can come back in 2 or 3 weeks and you know, go over that report a little bit more in detail. I'll have it in front of me. We can really ask some really good questions there. So big new industry here in Florida. Starts with a C. It's not Coca-Cola. It's cannabis.
Cocoa.
No, that's a different state, a different country. But no, we're talking about cannabis. We're not talking about anything hallucinogenic. There's some healthcare benefits here. There's, you know, all kinds of things. It's becoming mainstream. Casey, what are your thoughts? I know that you've studied this at least somewhat.
Yeah, I studied a lot. I go back to my Collier's days when I was their chief economist, and Colorado legalized it for recreational, and we did kind of the foundation work at what it did to the industrial real estate market. It took rents from about under $2 a square foot to over $17 a square foot as the cannabis industry invaded. But Jimmy, as you know, we both have had many friends and family members that have been affected by serious medical problems, whether it's Parkinson's or MS or epilepsy and seizure or seizure disorders. And, you know, the government won't let the studies be published, but the cannabis oil, is a phenomenal, medicine for treatment of many of these disorders and very helpful in these diseases. And so I became involved with it because of my son with his seizure disorders and whatnot. And the medical
blessings and love your way, of course. Blessings and love your way.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. So we have, you know, 33 states that have at least passed medical, 7 or 8, I think now they've got recreational. Heck, we even added crazy Massachusetts in the last.
Can you believe that?
Year. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. New York, Jersey.
See, the CFPB now stands for not the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, but the Cannabis Protection Bureau.
Hey now. But look, there's all kinds of things happening. The industry is evolving, and there's impacts on agriculture. There's impacts on finance. There's impacts on real estate. All kinds of stuff. What are you seeing on the economy side there?
Yeah, so here's the thing. The medical applications are huge, and we can grow the low THC kind so it doesn't have a bad effect. Florida's done it really well, probably the best in terms of its legislation. So I compliment the folks that were involved in the legislature.
Well, I know them personally.
Yeah, you do. You know them well. But no sampling of the legislative product, right?
No, absolutely not. I've got my card. I'm fully legal, and I don't write laws. I just follow them.
There you go. But the thing is, what Florida's done is it really is encouraged, not so much where you can access the raw product, but a finished product in terms of an edible or a cosmetic, like diabetic neuropathy cream or lotions to help with seizures. And so by Florida, if you go through a finished product that's an edible, a food, or a cosmetic, it's regulated by the FDA. And you're exempt from most of the federal laws. You can enter into leases. Retailers, you're going to see Starbucks that probably have a part of the store that's a cannabis section. Grocery stores like in Colorado that have cannabis sections. So Florida's done it right and to really address, I think, the medical and not go as crazy as, say, Colorado did on the recreational side. So I compliment Florida and the way that it's done it. And we need to think about really the myriad of medical uses here. And I think it's huge industry for us in real estate. And the way Florida's done it, you can lease it. You can have it in retail. You can have it in restaurants. So I think Florida is going to be a big beneficiary of it.
Wow, that's really cool. Thanks for that. That's actually the first time I've heard it really rolled out like that. That's tremendous. So let's go back now to, I would say more mainstream topics, but I don't get more mainstream than that one. let's talk a little bit about the Fed. The president's been violating historic norms. What a surprise. Did I really actually say that? And he's been jawboning the Fed. He's been yelling at them for raising rates, and now we have a sea change at the Fed. Give me some background, and where are we going with this?
Yeah, so I'll put it in context. I gave a speech, you know, we talked to CTAM, and I did one today in Kansas City, and it reminded people to look back what we were talking about a year ago versus today, and the main thing we were talking about a year ago was was Trump, but we were talking about him going to Davos and how well behaved he was, and he was being presidential and he was complimented. A year later, here we are. He's not being complimented for being very presidential, I don't think, by Pelosi or Schumer. But we're still talking about Trump.
No, so they're freaking out in Davos over this. I saw that they were interviewing the president of Citibank, I think it was, and he was just Bank of America, and he was losing his mind about what was going on.
Yeah, they are. So here's the thing to keep in mind with the Fed. So the first thing is that we should be talking about is each year the old FOMC is not the same as your next year FOMC. Four of the voting members rotate out of different Fed presidents. So the ones that were raising rates last year, you know, like Bostic from Atlanta and San Francisco Fed president, those guys are out. And this year we have some pretty conservative common sense thinkers like Jim Bullard from the St. Louis Fed, Esther George from the Kansas City Fed. And they've both given pretty clear speeches and direction that, you know, don't play chicken with the yield curve and invent it. We've probably gone too far. It's time to chill. So the first thing I'd like folks to remember is the FOMC that voted last year is not your same FOMC this year. The members this year are much more, I think, grounded and understand the business consequences and are not inclined to do any interest rate hikes, at least in the first quarter. Of the meetings, there's only three that you need to worry about for 2019. They're the March, June, and September meetings. Those are the only three that will have press conferences. If the Fed's going to do anything, whether it's cut rates or signal they're going to go back to raising rates or actually raise it, they're going to do it at a meeting that they have a press conference so they can make double sure they've explained what they're doing. So I think if anything happens, it's the March, June, and September meetings to pay attention to. My forecast is no rate hikes, no even hint at it in the first quarter. If we get the government back open and we start looking like we're going to get a trade deal done, particularly NAFTA 2.0 or the USMCA, you can see this economy fire back pretty strong in the second and third quarter. And the Fed would then have to move back in and probably do one or two rate hikes. My forecast is we'll be lucky if we see, or unlucky if we see one. The Fed's on pause mode. Pay attention to the March, June, and September meetings, the rest of them. Go enjoy the beach. Go skiing in Colorado. Go have fun.
Is China catching a cold?
They are. So the numbers, you know, they said it slowed to 6.6% annual GDP growth. Try 1%. The best indicator is look at their energy consumption. Energy consumption is almost flatlined.
Wow.
So if people are buying more homes, they're doing more factories, they're doing more production, energy would be rising. It's not. China's probably growing at something around 1%, not 6. So when you look at the U.S. and China, between us two, we're the two biggest economies in the world. We're at 21 trillion, 22 trillion, and China is at about 11 to 12 trillion. We're about half of the world's growth. And when those two entities catch cold, shut their government down, or aren't growing, we have a global slowdown. And that's why I worry we won't get the recession this year, but I really worry we're headed towards a recession next year. We've had a recession every 10 years since 1857. If we make it through this first quarter, it'll be the first time that we went more than a decade without a recession. I think we make it through. We don't have consecutive quarters of negative GDP, but I think we could see the fourth quarter go negative and the first quarter next year go negative, and we enter a recession next year.
Impact of the tax cuts. I'll give you a minute on that, and then if you want to stay, we can talk about where you put your money in the next segment. Impact of the tax cuts.
Sure. So tax cuts, we have yet to see the full impact. Most, when we passed it December 17, most companies spent first half of last year trying to understand it, figure it out, plan to spend the money. Now they've got their plans to put the money and let it go forward, but they're worried about the government shutdown. So most corporations really didn't deploy on the tax act yet. The big impact for those of us in the real estate industry is opportunity zones. Yeah. Every state has them. They're all defined. We're ready to go. There's 8,700 of them. Florida will be a big beneficiary. Most of the opportunity zones are those areas that where the big urban areas are growing out and regentrifying. So you got a lot of them, South Florida, Central Florida, the Panhandle. After the 2020 census, they're going to revisit the hurricane impacted areas so they can add some more there. But opportunity zones is the big beneficiary. Here's the gist. You can take your capital gains out of an investment today and you can defer it by buying a business or real estate for 7 years. Imagine, do the cash flow on a Hewlett-Packard financial calculator of deferring a liability 7 years. Big impact.
Kind of goes to zero.
At the end of 7 years, 20% of that goes away. You're totally forgiven. Wow. And then if you stay in the investment 3 more years, you get to reset the basis. So any gain in the business or the real estate over the 10-year hold period, It's free. This is going to be the biggest boom we've ever seen in my 35-year career of real estate.
So you're coming back in 3 weeks, and we'll do a whole show on that and infrastructure. Can you stick around on where to put your money in real estate?
You bet.
High five. Wanda, you can give a high five on that.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Mike spun around. It was awesome. You heard it. Stick with us. Smartest guy I know about real estate is about to tell you where to put your money. You probably want to listen to that. Wanda, roll the tape.
Fingers start shaking.
This, Wanda, you're bringing me back to my high school days.
I can see your pants now.
Hey, when you're, Wanda, you cannot. Okay, I'm done with that. Yeah. When, I don't even know where to go with that. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Gainesville's got Audi, and Key West got them all. Hey. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and my, that's right, beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family, and you should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
This report is brought to you by Compassion International.
All right, we're back. We're back, and we're talking real estate, and we're talking real estate capital. If you need real estate capital, give me a call at 305-773-6300. I'm Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors, and last year we were the 25th largest real estate company in South Florida by volume. Bigger this year, guarantee that. Very good for us. And we use that, and that leverage in our contacts to help our clients maximize the benefits of their capital stack. Boy, that sounds great. What does that mean? I get you good financing. That's what that means. So you give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need creative financing? Call me at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
Correct.
That's and the home.
880.
The Biz. You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
Hey, everybody. I want to remind you, this is South Florida's business station, 880 The Biz, just like the guy said. And this is Fried on Business, and I'm Jim Fried.
Yep.
We're here with Casey, and we're here with Wanda. Wanda said, yup.
Hi.
That's Wanda.
How are you?
Chocolate cake.
Drive safely.
Big, nice big piece of chocolate cake. Was it nice chocolate cake? You're going to give me that one later?
Chocolate.
I like that. All right. And we've got Casey Conway. He's the head economist for the CCIM nationally. He used to be the head economist for Colliers. He's a professor at the University of Alabama Center for Real Estate Studies. He's got some great studies coming out he's going to talk about. But now we're going to find out where he thinks you got to put your money if you're in real estate. Hey, Casey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. So I'll give you a couple of quick overviews. So a year ago, this time, the price earnings multiple for the stock market was, believe it or not, almost 24. And after this past December, we sold it down to like a 16 multiple. So we completely repriced equities. Everything went on sale for the new year. We've crawled back to about an 18 average. And if you look at the corporate earnings that we're getting out from the fourth quarter, they're pretty darn good. So for Brian Moynihan from B of A to do all his complaining over in Davos, they had a pretty good quarter, one of their best ones. Most of the banks are doing pretty well. Citi did well. They keep cutting their way to growth. They're not growing anything, but they're cutting their expenses like mad. But your regional banks are doing well. Where I like to put my money, and I have to disclose, I'm on a board of directors for one of these as a REIT. The robots and algorithmic programming says if you think interest rates are going up, sell the REITs and get rid of them all. And it's absolutely insane. I'm a big believer in the REITs. They're sold down to about a 6 or 7 price times earnings multiple. The one I'm on is Monmouth REIT. I'll give you two examples on either side of the country. Monmouth is based out of Monmouth or Freehold, New Jersey. They focus primarily on industrial and logistics real estate. They're a landlord for a lot of FedEx distribution space. Nothing changed. All good, brand new real estate, net lease deals, insulated from inflation, insulated from expense increases, still producing just great revenue. I'm a baby boomer. I need cash flow. I'm not worrying about as much about the appreciation rate in the stock as much as I want a coupon so I can keep living and doing a good job and having fun. The other one is Rexford out in California. They have a contrarian view. They go and invest in a value add industrial. It's hard to build new industrial in California. So they buy some of the older existing stuff in Southern California in secondary markets. They rehab it, recondition it, put other smaller tenants in there, and they're having record years. So I'm a big believer in the REITs right now. I think they've been oversold. The robots don't understand what makes them work. The other ones that I like some of the transportation and logistics companies. The railroads I love. We only have 7 Class 1 railroads. We're not making any more. God gave us only one for each day of the week. You guys have some good railroads. They're important to you. You've got Florida East Coast. You've got CSX. I think we're going to have some consolidation in the rail. People are going to pay a premium. We're moving things off trucks on the rail. So I like the railroad stocks. I like the REIT stocks. I'm not a big believer in the financials. They can't figure out how to grow, but even they're doing pretty well. So pay attention to the earnings here. The earnings are telling us that the sky is not falling.
You know, KC, I just want to go back a little bit to some of the stuff that we started out with, the trade. You know, the trade stuff, the stuff that's sitting off the ports. You know, some people have probably tuned in since you went off on that. So we're sitting here in Florida. What is the shutdown doing to the trade here in Florida?
Yeah, so it's having a huge impact right now in the West Coast, L.A., Long Beach, which are our 2 biggest ports, but it is having an impact on our Gulf and our Southeast ports. We have right now, the last numbers I looked at the end of last week, where we had over 300 shipping vessels that couldn't unload and come into port because the Coast Guard wasn't open and fully staffed to do what's called issuing their COFR, C-O-F-R, Certificate of Financial Risk, which is a proof of insurance that if they crash into the terminal and destroy the dock, that somebody will pay for the damages. So we're now beginning to see shipping containers and shipping vessels back up that can't come in and unload. That's going to affect our supply chain. I guess it's a good thing it's not the Christmas holidays, but it's something as we move forward here, it's going to affect construction materials. It's going to affect just a host of things that we rely on. We're still a big import nation. So we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention to you know, all of our distilled spirits that we make and we export. The alcohol, tobacco, firearms isn't opened up to put the liquor certificates or open up new brew pubs and any new liquors. So the tentacles are extensive here, but I think we're going to begin to understand the impact on the supply chain pretty quickly here.
Now, if the supply chain is impacted, the state of Florida's got a lot of exposure on that because, you know, you got your top ports, your, I guess, New York and Long Beach are your 2 big ones. But the state of Florida, if you put, what do we got, like 13 different deep water ports or something? If you put them all together, we're pretty big, aren't we?
Right. So Florida kind of doesn't make the top 10 list because you got so many ports. You're the state with more ports and harbors than any other. You're right, 13. It's as a result, your shipping container business is kind of fragmented. Actually, it's Port Everglades that handles the most, but because they're in the same customs district as Miami, Corps of Engineers gives Miami the credit. But Port Everglades handles a little over 1 million. You've got Tampa, you've got Jacksonville, all very important. Agriculture, shipping container goods, a lot of stuff that moves in and out. So if you rank them, LA and Long Beach are the 2 biggest. They're doing each about 6.5-7 million of containers. So Port Everglades doing 1 million, looks pretty small. But if you put all Florida stuff together, they would begin to rival, you know, a Charleston or a Savannah, which, you know, and even a New York. Savannah just passed 4 million containers last year. Charleston has been the fastest growing port in North America over the last 5 to 7 years. Savannah and Charleston will probably become the L.A. Long Beach of the East Coast. So New York is, after L.A. Long Beach, New York's 3. Savannah's 4. Charleston makes the top 10. If you put all of Florida's stuff together, you would be in the top, you know, 4 or 5 ports in North America.
So then what is the pinch point in the United States' logistics layout?
So, I mean, I think the pinch point is, you know, where we do on the East Coast and the Southeast, we do a lot more of the exports. So California brings in a lot of stuff from Asia, and they bring it all into Chicago, and they get it in the middle part of the country, and then they send all these empty shipping containers back out to go. In the East Coast, we actually manufacture and fill empty containers up and send stuff out, whether it's agriculture, furniture, electronics, medical supplies. We fill those containers up. So we're really the export component that the West Coast is not. And so for our industries that are doing manufacturing, whether it's automobiles, so Jacksonville is very important on the auto side, especially with Volkswagen bringing the cars in and the export of stuff as well. Tampa on agriculture, South Florida on a whole host of things. If we can't get this stuff functioning right and keep it going, then really the companies that are manufacturing and employing people here, they're going to be impacted versus the ports that are receiving imports. It's the people in China that aren't manufacturing or whatnot that are going to be hurt more, over there or the West Coast. There'll be fewer people handling it, but they're all labor unions, so they still get paid and everything else. On the East Coast, we're not labor union impacted as much. So we have a much bigger impact as it goes interior to the economy, to all the people that manufacture, grow, process food, process electronics, and we fill those empty containers up and send them around the rest of the world.
Now, one last question, and this is something I never really thought about the impact of till I returned a huge box right before Christmas. How about the reverse logistics? How does that work?
No, great point. So in this paper, we actually looked at the margins on retail, and you would think that with retailers going to online, it must be much more profitable for them, and the exact opposite is true. The traditional shop and pick up retail is much more profitable. The margins are in the 25 to 35% range, and they're about half that on the online order and deliver to me for two reasons. The capital expenditures to do all this online and deliver in the last mile is extraordinary. It's huge, huge capital investment. And the second is 30% of everything we order online, we send back. So I always joke, my teenage daughters are an example of what's wrong with the supply chain and online ordering. They've taught me how to order clothes and shoes online. They say, Dad, just order three of everything.
Right.
Order the size you think you are, one up and one down.
Right.
Take the one that fits and send the other two back.
Right.
You got to repackage it. Where do you resupply it? It's now been opened. It's been used. 30% of everything we order online gets sent back. That's amazing.
I have friends that order, they order shoes like that and they send four of them back. It's ridiculous. Hey, Casey, I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show. I'm looking forward. I'll call you afterwards. We'll get you on again in a few weeks to talk about your infrastructure thing when it's fully released. I want to talk about all this great stuff. And I got a whole bunch of other ideas we have to talk about. But Casey Conway, we're wrapping up. Tell everybody where they can find your paper if they want to download it in about a week or so.
Yep. Thank you so much, Jimmy. You do such a great job for the industry. It's always an honor to be on the show.
Thank you.
So it's Acre, A-C-R-E, dot Culverhouse, C-U-L-V-E-R-H-O-U-S-E, dot U-A, dot E-D-U. It'll be there on February 1. Jimmy, I'll send to you tonight the short 8-page version that has all the takeaways, statistics, and our forecast that you can share with your readers in advance because you're the best.
Great. No, I'm second best. Number one's on the other end of the line. Casey Conway, the man, the myth, and the legend. And Casey, best to you and your beautiful family. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights and your thoughts with us today.
Thank you, Jimmy, and Happy New Year to you guys and all of your listeners. Keep in mind, Florida state GDP is growing at 4.5%. So if the rest of the country goes to hell, Florida, Texas, the Southeast, we're going to do better. Look at GDP at the state level, not just the national numbers. You guys are going to get through it just fine.
Oh, I got a lot of people that I'm going to tell that. Casey Conway. Casey, I just love you. You're the best. Thanks so much for being on the show this week. We're going to talk about what we learned at Agent 2021, and I want to give a special shout out to Chris Corey, who we're going to be doing crossovers with Chris, so I want to make sure you tune in before my show and listen to Chris, and of course, I want to make sure you stick around later and listen to my friend, Gary Johnson. Rhonda, take it away. I love this song, Rhonda. Oh, come on, join in.
Okay, then.
Come on, join in. Oh, yeah. Oh, my favorite show. I love this show. Styling. What's up? Getting some new moves. Maybe I couldn't make them, but I sure tried. Hey, everybody, I'll tell you who can make a good move. That's my friend Larry Zinn. High five to Larry Zinn. 40 under 40 in automotive. He'll be racking that up until he turns 41. Hey, if you want to make sure that you got to buy a car and you want to get the best deal, maybe you're looking to lease a car, want to get every advantage that you can, that's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family, and you should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Now let's all join in again.
Freed and Wanda Miles.
It would be greatly appreciated if you would use your turn signal indicator when changing lanes or turning.
On 880, The Biz.
I'm not a mind reader, neither is everybody else.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting. Be strong. Be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
Oh, man. I got to say, that Casey Conway, he sure knows his stuff. And
he
you want to make sure you play that again. I was writing it down, but I'm going to play that again. His tips, they were well thought out.
Business.com.
What was it?
Freedombusiness.com, in case you missed it.
That's right, freedombusiness.com.
You want to regroup.
Okay, well, it's really great stuff. Hey, if you need some cash for your real estate, give me a call at 305-773-6300. I can help you monetize your land. Maybe you're sitting on some land, you've seen some appreciation, you'd like to cash out, give me a call. 305-773-6300. I just brokered the sale of Wynwood Yard, both sides. Yes, that was a great deal for me. Better for Lennar, and even better for the people that sold it. And I'm sorry about Wynwood Yard going, but what they'll be bringing instead
where
is...
Where will we park?
For what?
When we go there.
You take Uber.
Okay.
Just park at my house and then you take Uber.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know, look, the real truth of the matter is a lot of these things are being engineered for fewer and fewer cars to be parked in because fewer and fewer people are driving cars. Today, it used to be that you'd do 40% of your room nights in hotel would have a car. Now only 15 to 20% do. And it's changing all the time. But that's not what we're talking about. Right. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Give me a call if you need real estate capital. I just helped one of my good friends from CCIM finance his deals. And unfortunately, he just tuned in and missed the head economist of the CCIM. But you just go to freedombusiness.com and you can hear Casey and his speech. It was awesome. So that's right. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? As my clients will tell you, if you call me,
it's all about you.
880 The Biz, where money talks. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
This has been tremendous. I love my man, Casey. We started with some enormous positive energy from Chris Corey on his show. We're going to start doing a crossover with Chris, bring some of his energy to the table here. And then, of course, we've always got the cleanup hitter, Gary Johnson, right after me playing some great stuff. Now, Wanda, it was a big weekend. It was a big week this week. We came on after Monday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about Dr.
Dwell in it too much. But, you know, it's kind of a week-long thing.
Okay.
Why not?
You got anything for me on that?
I got some stuff.
Give it to me.
All right.
I conceive of this struggle not as a struggle to free 20 million Negroes in the United States, but a struggle to free 180 million citizens of this country. And I don't think anybody in this country can be truly free until the Negro is free. And I certainly don't think the white man is free as long as you have segregation and discrimination, because the festering sore of segregation debilitates a white man as well as a Negro. And this is why I say that our aim in this struggle is not to defeat or to humiliate the white man, but to win his friendship and understanding. And the end is reconciliation and the creation of the beloved community. We are not seeking to annihilate the opponent, but to convert him. And this is why we follow nonviolence. I think the end of violence is to get rid of, to annihilate the opponent. But in the nonviolent movement, the end is to convert the opponent and to bring about a society where all men will live together as brothers and every man will respect the dignity and worth of human personality. I don't mean you would have brotherhood by federal force. I don't think you can really have true brotherhood by federal force. I do think, though, that you can break down the legal and the external and the man-made barriers that make brotherhood impossible by federal force. In other words, I don't think you can have brotherhood as long as there is a system of racial segregation. Now, I do feel that this system can be broken down by federal force. Now, when you move to the realm of true brotherhood, a true integration, which is genuine intergroup, interpersonal living, mutual acceptance, then we move into another realm altogether. And I don't think this can be done by federal force, but I think that these barriers can be broken down and it can bring us nearer to the goal. I would like to see it under the 14th Amendment, which says that no state has a right to deny an individual equal protection of the law. And every state has a responsibility, it has the authority to give these businesses licenses to operate. And the fact that this is done by the state means that these businesses at that moment forfeit the right to deal with individuals any way they please. They must be under the scrutiny and under the direction of federal authority on the basis of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
Well, an extension of that then would mean that all of us who are licensed to drive automobiles would come within state scrutiny for whatever purpose they wish to do. The state's hand extends everywhere, you see.
Oh, yes, it extends everywhere where basic human constitutional rights are involved. And I am absolutely convinced that there's something wrong with a nation that would put property rights over human rights. And I think states should have rights, but no state should have the right to do wrong. And this is why we have a 14th Amendment to regulate these wrong movements here in the U.S.
Thank you, Wanda. Now, Wanda, you and I are friends, right?
Of course.
Okay, and I think his original comment about that he's not seeking to free just the black man. He called him Negro because it was
back
the time.
In the day, yes.
But he wanted to free the people that are not of color in America because they were being held hostage by their prejudice.
Exactly.
We need more love in the world, Wanda.
There's a lot of things we haven't heard from Martin Luther King. So I think, you know, every now and then we should visit all of that stuff.
Well, thanks for bringing that to the table here, Wanda.
We did
really
a lot of
appreciate
speaking.
It.
Sure, why not?
Well, we've been having a great show, and
that's
just wrapped it
day.
Up. I'm so thrilled you did that. I want to thank Casey Conway. I want to thank Wanda.
Hey, you're welcome.
I want to thank the station. I want to thank our listeners. Without you guys, I wouldn't have a show. Of course, I want to thank our friends at Warren Henry, the NFL Alumni Association, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies, even until we put the guy from Alabama on this week. I want to thank you, our listeners. Please go to our Facebook page and like our show and tell your friends. Join our community. Give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. I got Twitter. I got Facebook. I got LinkedIn. I got YouTube. Website. Thank you, Robert Pitts, for the website. And if you missed today's show, it's going to be up on www.freedombusiness.com. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us on 8:80 a.m. next Thursday at 6, where we're going to talk about the kidney walk and a whole bunch of other really cool stuff. A place where they help you go on golf vacations. It's going to be a really cool time.
Excellent.
Yeah, I do this. I love this. You know why I do this? It's because I love it. Now, remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. That's me. The other finds an excuse. That's no one I really know. Now, go out there and make it happen, everybody. Wanda, take it away.
Oh, guess who this is?
Jim Fried and Wanda Miles.
You must be the greatest radio show host ever.
On 880, The Biz.
Sweet Union.
Another traffic report is just minutes away. Keep it right here on 880 The Biz, South Florida's exclusive home to Bloomberg Radio.
I'm always late. Thank God for the traffic report.